Always love catching up with John Keim of ESPN, one of the absolute best in the biz, getting his perspective on where things stand with a Burgundy and Gold preseason opener tomorrow night for the Washington Commanders in Foxborough against the Patriots. So super excited about that. Before we get into the rest of the National Football League, I do want to spend some time on what I am looking for, what I am expecting to see in this Washington Commanders preseason opener. What we do know is this: most of the offensive starters probably are not going to play. Most of the defensive starters probably not going to play either. So, I'll say this, right? It's very clear what I'm looking for here. Coming up in the preseason opener, a couple of different guys are on my list, right? And I think there's probably the same guys that are on everyone's list. I want to see Bill, right? Ja'Cory Kroski-Merritt, the guy that you all have, you know, started fitting him for his jacket size in Canton already. Out at joint practice yesterday via that conversation with Khan, Brian Robinson was probably the most impressive back that we saw out there. I think Ja'Cory Kroski-Merritt's probably the most intriguing back that the Washington Commanders have. Is it a foregone conclusion that he makes the football team? No. Has to show some special teams ability. Has to show the ability to pass protect as well as catch the football out of the backfield. But the one thing we keep talking about, his burst, you feel him when he runs the football. And I think he's got a level of explosiveness that this offense just simply had been missing. He's somebody I'm looking paying close attention to in the preseason, because in practice, you just can't get the same level of physicality. You're not going to be able to see the tackle-breaking ability, so on and so forth. Another guy that I think we got to be looking hard at is Ja'Cory Brooks, the wide receiver out of the University of Louisville. And when you look at what Ja'Cory Brooks did during his time at Louisville, kid can play. 6'4", 195 pounds, a different physical profile than we're used to seeing. Now, in college, I mean, Ja'Cory Brooks last year was pretty damn good. 61 catches, take over 1,000 yards. This is what stands out to me about Ja'Cory Brooks. He averaged 16.6 yards per reception last year. It's a big-time number, man. And I think Ja'Cory Brooks can play. 9 touchdowns last year. I mean, he can flat-out ball, right? The year before, didn't play much because of injury. Back in 2022, 39 catches for 674 yards and 8 touchdowns. So, like, the kids had production at the collegiate level before. The reason I like him is he provides a different body type to this Commanders receiving room, standing at 6'4", weighing 195 pounds. Like, I think he is that physical, big-bodied receiver that I don't think Washington has. And he has made plays routinely throughout training camp. He had a nice one-handed touchdown catch from Jaden Daniels yesterday in the joint practice against the Patriots. But for Ja'Cory Brooks, it's just about him being more consistent on a down-in, down-out basis. There have been some drops throughout training camp. I do think, in terms of, you know, being physical at the point of attack and giving maximum effort as a blocker, I think there's a role for him there. I think he's good in that aspect, but he's a guy also that I think really can help himself out tomorrow night in terms of making this final 53 and maybe getting some snaps with the first-team offense. Carlin Vigors, the defensive back for the Commanders, a guy that's had a really good training camp to this point, eager to see him in real game action, tackling, so on and so forth. He's had a good camp, though, man. Jonathan Vigors, a young man that is, wow, Carlin Vigors. This is his rookie year? Wow, so Vigors hadn't even been in the NFL before. So I'm stunned off of that. Carlin Vigors played his collegiate ball. Where? University of Auburn. So giving me, so he's played at Auburn. He also played somewhere else last year for UAB, I believe. Okay. So he played at UAB last year, played at Auburn previously. UAB, a smaller school, not a Power 5 school. So, you know, you had your concerns about him, but he has just competed his ass off during camp. And why I think he's got a good shot, why I'm super interested in him, 6'2", 200 pounds. Washington does not have a cornerback in this room that has that physical profile. Trey Amos is the closest thing to that. Carlin Vigors, I thought, though, has had a really good training camp to this point, eager to see him against some other competition. Tyler Owens, another guy that I'm interested in seeing. He has gotten a lot of work with his first-team defense as, like, the third safety. A guy that on special teams last year was an absolute badass. 6'2", 215 pounds. Looked like he was shot out of a cannon at times. So he's been really good this offseason. You heard in that conversation with John Kime, the work that he has done in the slot. And for a guy, you know, that played primarily special teams last year and, to me, was viewed as more of like a zone safety to me. I didn't know how good he would be in man-to-man coverage, I guess is what I'm trying to say. And he's made some plays there throughout the training camp practices at this point. We've seen him make good plays in the slot, seen him be used as an effective blitzer coming out of the slot. And then we've also seen the range that he has playing in the deep half as a post safety. So tackling for me is the big thing I need to see with Tyler Owens. Can he tackle in the flow of a defense? It's different running down on special teams, making a tackle. Can you fit and make tackles in the scheme of the defense? I want to see that too. Caden Medrano, the rookie out of UCLA, another guy that I want to see, especially with Jordan McGee down and not making the trip. Caden Medrano going to have a real opportunity here to steal some snaps, and he's had a pretty good camp. I don't know how much we're going to see of Josh Connolly, but if he does play, I want to see how he is in a game-like situation as well. And then one of the last guys is Percy Butler. Because him and Tyler Owens are competing for snaps as that third safety, I want to see both of those guys in real game-time action. Ben Sinnott, too. Like, how much has Ben Sinnott evolved? I want to see this Commanders pass rush guys like Jalen Holmes, Eddie Goldman, Jazan Newton, and company. So it's going to be interesting to see. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. We'll take a quick timeout when we come back. Let's take a look at what's happened thus far in the preseason. First half in the books between the Ravens and the Colts. Major injury at the quarterback position that we'll get to. Plus, Joe Burrow's night is over after a pretty damn good start. And there's a backup in Philadelphia that's garnering some attention as well. We'll break it all down next on The Fan. Preseason action going on right now in the National Football League. Want to get you up to speed here quickly while we can. JP Acosta, SB Nation, going to join us to take a big picture look around the National Football League. Colts have a quarterback battle going on right now. Anthony Richardson and Daniel Jones vying to become the starter. Anthony Richardson was slated to get the first crack at it tonight, getting the start for the Indianapolis Colts against the Baltimore Ravens. And you won't believe what happened. During Richardson's first series, he did not properly check protection, and a free rusher came off and blew his head off. He suffered a finger injury and has now been ruled out for the remainder of the game. Daniel Jones is going to win this job. One, because Anthony Richardson in year number three still doesn't understand basic protections. And then, two, he can't stay healthy. Like, the irony, dog, of like, and I've heard so many stories about Anthony Richardson, man. If I'm glad Jaden Daniels ain't like this. There was a story that came out last year, and the story is 100% accurate. You realize Anthony Richardson missed practice at a point in time last year because he freaking overslept? Do you understand how crazy that is? He missed practice because he overslept, and he is now hurt, and his pinky finger looks to be broken on the throwing hand. Why? Because he didn't properly check a protection. Why? Because he doesn't take his job seriously. That's a day one install that he screwed up. They overloaded the side. The back is looking at me. As soon as the back releases, he's looking back at the quarterback because he knows he's the hot route. And Richardson, at the snap of the ball, looks to the complete wrong side. And as a result, David Ojabo knocked his lights out, and he's out for the rest of the game. Here's the thing that sucks for Colts fans out there. If I'm not mistaken, their starting offense, for the most part, is out there. Minus a couple of guys. Tyler Warren's playing. Adnay Mitchell's playing. Jelani Woods is playing. Want to know Daniel Jones' stat line? 10 of 21. I should just stop right there. In a preseason game, you're under 50% completion percentage on 20-plus pass attempts. He's 10 for 21 for 144 yards. He was also sacked. Maybe Riley Leonard wins the job here. I know Notre Dame fans are probably like, really? Is that a possibility? It has to be. Anthony Richardson and Daniel Jones are both so bad. And the Colts actually have a good offensive line. They've got a pretty decent skill group. But their quarterbacks just simply can't get out of their own way. We get you up to speed on an Eagles backup player that is taking the preseason week one by storm, as well as give you the autopsy on how Joe Burrow and their first team offense did. They're going to play an entire half next week when they travel here to the nation's capital. We'll get you up to speed on a preseason week one next. Real quick, getting you up to speed on NFL preseason action. The Cincinnati Bengals, because of their habitual slow starts, played their starters a fair amount tonight against the Philadelphia Eagles backups. And just to say, it went well for Cincy. Joe Burrow, 9 of 10, 123 yards and 2 touchdowns. Ja'Marr Chase, 4 catches, 77 yards and a touchdown. But the revelation in this game to me is Eagles quarterback Tanner McKee. 20 of 25 for 252 yards and 2 touchdowns. Howie Roseman is the best executive in all of professional football, maybe in all of professional sports. I think he's going to find a way to flip Tanner McKee into a serviceable football player, whether that's via draft picks or an immediate contributor. But, man, it's funny how certain teams can have a multitude of quarterbacks and other teams can't find one at all. I think the situation that we're seeing in Philly is Tanner McKee's a dude. Is the reason they moved on from Kenny Pickett is because Tanner McKee, what's the old saying, is you're not that guy, pal. Tanner McKee is 100% that guy, pal, the way he is played. He looks like one of the better backup quarterbacks right now in the NFL. Another revelation for Philadelphia that was a big-time positive for them, Johnny Wilson, the Florida State wide receiver that was freakishly tall coming out of school. And I'm getting ready to look up Johnny Wilson's exact measurables. I think he was something like 6'6", but I'll find out here momentarily. 3 catches for 73 yards on the night for him, including a 28-yard deep shot, which he did a really nice job adjusting to the football. But Johnny Wilson, 6th-round pick in 2024, last year, out of Florida State, 6'6", 228 pounds. Whew. I mean, they just have good football players as backups, as second backups. It is just, it's a well-run organization is the best way that I would put it. But, yeah. Your preseason football update. We got one more game still that has not kicked off. It does in about a half hour. It is Pete Carroll and Geno Smith's return to Seattle. And we're going to see starters in that game, as both the Seahawks and Raiders expected to play their starters a fair amount, which means we get to see the NFL debut of last year. We get to see the NFL debut of Ashton Jeanty, a dude that I know a lot of folks are waiting to see how he translates to the NFL level. I am as well. The Raiders are going to be a tough out this year for a bunch of teams. One, because they added a bunch of really shrewd veterans. And two, I think Ashton Jeanty is the real deal and is going to go, as I like to say, Kanye crazy. One final segment to go, though, here on this Thursday night edition of Overtime. About JP Acosta from SB Nation joins us next to take a big picture look at the National Football League. Welcome back. It's Overtime here on 106.7 The Fan. We're always live and free on the Always Free Odyssey app. You're tapped in to the youngest in Charles and L. Willingham. I'll take you up to 10 o'clock. Want to continue our conversation talking big picture National Football League. We've spent enough time on the old Washington Commanders, and right now we'll take a national view of the NFL as we're joined by our pal J.P. Acosta, who you can check out his work at SBNation.com, one of the best NFL writers into the game. Give him a follow on the X app at Acosta32 @_JP. What's going on, JP? How are you?
I'm doing great. How about yourself?
Doing good, man. Doing good. Scratching that itch here tonight as we're finally getting NFL preseason action. Before we take a national look at the National Football League, wanted to get your thoughts. You know, as an outsider kind of looking in, what have you made from the reports about where Washington and Terry McLaurin stand relative to an extension? And if you were the Commanders, would you be, raising your eyebrow at paying him $30 million annually?
I think from everything that I have heard and everything that I have read and seen about the Terry McLaurin situation with the Commanders,
he may be a Charger sooner rather than later, brother.
I'm not wishing that on anybody, yeah, right. I think the situation with the Commanders is sort of unfortunate for both sides because both sides are correct. There is normally a steep decline after you pay receivers for entering age 30 or 31 seasons. There's not a lot of guys who continue to produce at the level that Terry McLaurin has after the age of 31 or after the age of 30 even. But to Terry McLaurin's credit, and the thing that he can take to Washington, is that offense is much better with him. And Jaden Daniels is much better with him in the offense.
Yeah.
Washington doesn't really have that outside vertical threat. I mean, you trade for Deebo Samuel, which is fine, but Deebo Samuel is not an outside receiver. He is going to do more of the RPO, more of the quick game stuff. But when you constrict the offense like that, you need somebody on the outside who, one, can win and create separation, especially in that offense, but two, someone that the quarterback trusts. And I think that Jaden Daniels trusts Terry McLaurin to the point where they're one of the best QB and wide receiver duos on those go routes. So it's tough for both sides because you can see the reason why both sides want to either for Terry to get paid $30 million a year and for the Commanders to not give him $30 million a year. So you just hope that they can come to a happy medium.
Yeah, I think that is the hope here locally as well. Not holding my breath on it. I feel like, you know, I always consider myself, JP, I want to be open, honest, and objective because it's easy for me to be biased. I'm a 27-year-old Commanders fan. I haven't seen any success throughout, you know, the entirety of my life up until last year. So it's easy for me to be biased and not tell it how it is. But I just feel like watching training camp to this point, and I've been to every training camp practice outside of yesterday's joint practice out in Foxborough. I mean, it's very clear that they need Terry McLaurin, JP. And when you talk about, you know, what Cliff Kingsbury and company ran last year, sort of like this West Coast air raid offense, you need a De'Ami Brown, a Terry McLaurin, a stretch of defenses vertically so you can have your Austin Ecklers and your Deebo Samuels work underneath in the horizontal passing attack. So I totally agree with you. It's just been fascinating to know that when you think about what year two is supposed to be for Jaden Daniels and the moves that they made, trading for Tunsil, giving up serious draft capital over the next couple of years, it seemed like a franchise that was pushing their chips into the middle. It just doesn't make sense to me, JP, where things stand. Like, why drag this out? Why make this, call it what you want, it's a distraction. Why make this a thing when all this year should be about is, you know, allowing Jaden Daniels to take that next step? If it is a scenario, JP, in which this offense has to function without Terry McLaurin for whatever reason, your confidence level that Jaden Daniels is the type of quarterback that can elevate others around him?
I'm confident that Jaden Daniels can be that guy, but you're asking a lot of a second-year player,
yes,
especially in a situation where the Commanders were in the NFC Championship last season. This should be about maximizing the team that you have while you still have the quarterback for cheap. And I think that's where the rubber really hits the road with Terry McLaurin is, look, Jaden Daniels is on a rookie deal right now. You should be doing everything you can to maximize that team around him, and Terry McLaurin plays a big role in that. So I would get that deal done, especially because you don't have to pay your quarterback right now. I think Daniels is good enough to elevate the talent, but what you want to do is you want to kind of QB-proof the offense. You want to make sure you can maximize that margin for error. I think if you look at the team in the division, the Philadelphia Eagles, sure, you can think whatever you want of Jalen Hurts as a quarterback and as a passer, but his margin for error is so wide when he's throwing downfield because he has A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith on the outside. Those guys are important. So I think if they want to maximize margin for error in this offense and create something where you can really play with defense's numbers schematically, you need Terry McLaurin on the field.
I totally agree. We'll see what happens with that situation. It is getting late early, though, when it comes to the Commanders and, you know, how much practice time Terry McLaurin is going to need to be an effective piece of this offense early on in the season. I want to keep things in the NFC East. The Philadelphia Eagles won the division last year. The New York Giants are kind of having a facelift right now offensively with Russell Wilson now being inserted as the quarterback. The one team, JP, that I feel like is being a little bit slept on when it comes to what they've done this offseason, it is the Dallas Cowboys. As long as Dak Prescott is healthy and playing, you know, 17 games during the regular season, this is a group that over the past several years has been pretty damn good when that scenario plays out. If Dak is healthy, what type of outlook and expectations do you have for the Cowboys, and could they potentially close the gap between them and Philadelphia at the top of the division, maybe unseating a team like Washington?
I think even beyond Dak Prescott being healthy and CeeDee Lamb being healthy, if Micah Parsons is on the field for that defense, I think the Cowboys can be kind of sneaky fun, sneaky competitive. I think with what they've done in terms of coordinator hires, they went out and hired Clayton Adams as the offensive coordinator. He used to be the offensive line coach in Arizona, which I am an advocate for. All my offensive coordinators, I want to be offensive line coaches.
I dig that.
I think that rules. But what I think is going to happen with Dallas this year offensively is I think they're going to try and lean into being bigger up front. They want to run the ball really effectively. They want to run more gap scheme, power, counter. But what they're trying to do is maximize the margin for error, like I talked about with Jaden Daniels. They're trying to do that for Dak Prescott. Because Dak, the biggest issue I had with the Cowboys offense before was Dak Prescott had to be absolutely perfect on every throw. And if he wasn't, then chaos happened. And that's not a sustainable way to run an NFL offense. So I think they're trying to maximize the margin for error for Dak as a passer. I think they're going to try and go downfield a little bit more. And I think having George Pickens on that offense is going to really help that out. But I think even with Dak being healthy, the biggest thing is keeping Micah Parsons happy and keeping him on the team. Because if he's not there, this entire situation, this entire team and team aspect for 2025 goes out the window.
Whew, that is a strong take. And look, I totally agree with you. The one thing that kind of made me raise my eyebrows, I saw Tyler Guyton got carted off of the practice field. Now he, you know, was able to save himself from tearing his ACL. They're calling it a bone bruise. But having your left tackle, you know, be out 4 to 6 weeks is definitely not ideal, especially when you consider how they want to start the season. Going from the NFC East to the AFC East, Aaron Glenn talked about how the starters are going to play a considerable amount throughout this preseason. It's the way of life that he wants to live. The reports, though, JP, I don't know if you've seen them coming out of Jets training camp, is that Justin Fields has struggled quite a bit. What do you expect from him in 2025, and is this the year that he solidifies himself as a franchise quarterback?
So my very obscure, like, non-major NFL prediction is the New York Jets lead the NFL in rushing attempts.
I think
are going to run the ball so much with Justin Fields, Breece Hall, Braylon Allen, and that offensive line. I think they're going to try and run the ball and maximize Justin Fields' legs. I am worried about the upside he has as a passer because I don't think he improved that much in Pittsburgh. So that might limit the ceiling for the Jets, but 2025 for New York should really be about finding out what you have in your young guys, getting them all the playing time, all the reps that you need, and kind of building from the ground up. And I think that's why they hired Aaron Glenn. Aaron Glenn comes from somewhere that they built that from the ground up. You need a guy who's going to build that from the ground up. So I think that they're going to slow play this 2025. They're going to see what happens with Justin Fields. If it works, that's great. But if not, they're not tied to him at all.
Yeah, I think it's going to be fascinating to see. Look, the one thing about the Jets from last year is I felt like the sexy thing to say was that, oh, Aaron Rodgers was the big issue with that football team, they needed a new voice. I think Aaron Glenn provides that. I'm curious to see whether or not the young guys can bounce back on the defensive side of the football, talking about your Quinnen Williams, your Quincy Williams, your Sauce Gardner, so on and so forth, because I like that team. I think that, like you said, they've got a bunch of good young talent. It's about whether or not, one, Aaron Glenn can get the most out of them, and then can Justin Fields, the quarterback, can he tie everything together and make it all make sense in what is all of a sudden becoming a loaded AFC? I want to keep things in this division. I believe I've spoken to you about this team earlier this offseason. The Miami Dolphins, man, feels like everyone is kind of keeping their eyes, you know, peaked at them in terms of like, well, are they going to start off fast? Is Chris Greer and, you know, Mike McDaniel on the hot seat? When you look at what they did this offseason and you look at the returning guys that they have coming back healthy, are we sleeping on Miami, or do you think the dialogue around this team is accurate right now?
I think it's accurate because the Miami Dolphins are the weirdest team in the NFL.
That's a good way to describe them, brother. Weird.
I don't know what to make of this team. I really don't. Like, at their best, they can be very good on offense, but Tyreek Hill hasn't been healthy in a long time. Jaylen Waddle can't stay healthy. You're reinventing the offensive line, and still, they're still the worst team in the NFL in short yardage situations. Yeah. Like, they are not physical, and they tried to address that on both sides of the line. But now you need Bradley Chubb and Jalen Phillips to stay healthy. You need somebody in the secondary to step up after you trade Jalen Ramsey. You don't really have a warm body at corner. So I want to believe schematically, because I think Mike McDaniel is a great play caller and designer of offense. And I think Anthony Weaver is a very good defensive coordinator. I just don't know if they have the talent requisite to really win games.
Yeah, that's an honest assessment of that group. And I think it's real. The toughness element with them is something that a lot of folks like to talk about. I'm a big Chris Broussard fan, JP. Longtime NBA guy. He's been talking a lot more NFL now that he's on First Things First on FS1. And he calls the Dolphins breakdancers. And I think it's a perfect way to describe that team in terms of, like, they're all finesse, but it looks good when it's going good. But then you know how it is with a breakdancer. One wrong move in your season and or routine could be over. We're joined right now by our guy, JP Acosta, who writes for SB Nation. You can give him a follow on the X app at Acosta32_JP. I know you always keep your eyes peeled for what's going on out in Jacksonville. What's the latest from what you've heard from Jags training camp? And will we see Travis Hunter on both sides of the football coming up this preseason?
They are preparing and they are practicing for Travis Hunter as if he is going to play on both sides of the ball this season. I am super excited for it, largely because we haven't seen anything like this legitimately in the NFL.
Yeah.
We haven't seen a guy legitimately play both sides of the ball at the level that Travis Hunter did at Colorado and now seemingly with the Jaguars. But the thing that I enjoy the most about this regime is that they're not afraid to try stuff. They're not afraid to do different things. Yeah. They're not afraid to be creative. So I think there's going to be ups, there are going to be downs, which is perfectly fine, but you can see the process and see what they're trying to build. Outside of Travis Hunter, I actually think that there have been a lot of positive reports out of camp for Trevor Lawrence. I think this attention to detail, some of the things they're working on for his footwork, has really helped out. But I think this offense can be fun. They can be good in 2025. It just hinges on an offensive line that is banking on good coaching and development from their tackles.
Yeah, talking about Anton Harrison, Walker Little. Anton Harrison, the DMV guy. I got the chance to talk to him quite a bit while he was in high school, JP, so I know he's made up of the right stuff. The one thing that's been interesting, and I'm curious to see, like, which iteration of this offense we're going to see. When he was in Tampa last year, think about the running back duo that he had with Bucky Irving and Rashad White. Insert, you know, Bashaul Tootin and Tank Bigsby and, you know, Travis Etienne. Do you think they're going to run the ball more than people expect? Because I think if the offensive line can create holes, it's a pretty interesting group of backs, a dynamic group at that.
I think it's tough because I think they are going to run the ball, but I also think between the 20s, you're going to see a lot of action for the running backs in the passing game. You're going to see a lot of development from the screen game. The Jaguars had the worst screen game in the NFL by a wide margin last year, and one of the best teams in screen design and screen execution was the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So now you think of a guy like Travis Etienne, who shows he can be a good receiver out the backfield. Tank Bigsby's still coming along in that area, but I think Etienne being effective as a receiver, I think you're going to see a lot of that between the 20s offensively with the backs being used in the passing game, a lot more gap scheme from this team. I'm excited to see what he does with these running backs because they have in Tank Bigsby, Travis Etienne, Bisuel Tooten is going to play a lot on third downs. I'm a big fan of LaQuint Allen just in terms of he was one of the better pass blockers at the position that I scouted during this draft process. So I'm curious to see how they do how they rotate these guys.
Yeah.
So it should be really fun.
I want to go to the NFC North here for a second, a division that is very dependent upon quarterback play. I'll give you a chance to give some quick hitters on all four of these quarterbacks. One, first, do you think Jared Goff is able to replicate the success offensively minus Ben Johnson?
I think so, but I think it's going to be a little more difficult now with Frank Ragnow retired.
Yeah.
Because they're working in a few more young guys up front and Tate Ratledge, Christian Mahogany. I don't know who's going to play center for them. And I think Frank Ragnow handled a lot more when it comes to protections up front. But I think they'll minimize the loss of Ben Johnson because I think Dan Campbell had a little bit more say in the offense than people want to give him credit for. They see Dan Campbell and think, like, rah-rah meathead coach. But before, he promoted Ben Johnson to offensive coordinator.
Right.
This is not, like, something that just came out of the blue, you know? So I think they're still going to be good. They're still going to be a very good offense. Will they be the best offense in the NFL again? I don't think so, but they should still be good enough to make the playoffs.
Positive reports coming out of Minnesota on J.J. McCarthy. Are you buying it, or do you think they'll be trading for Kirk Cousins at some point?
I buy it, but I also acknowledge that it's going to be slow to start. It is going. I think Vikings fans and I think NFL fans have to acknowledge that this thing is going to take a little bit of time.
Yeah.
Because J.J. McCarthy, the biggest thing I saw when he was leaving Michigan was he needed reps. He needed more time to actually play. And he didn't get that because he tore his meniscus last season, didn't play at all. But what I saw from the preseason, what I think he did well at Michigan, was he was really confident over the middle of the field and can operate off play action. The best thing that Minnesota has done is they have QB-proofed their offense as well. I think
yes,
the offensive line is going to be really good at run blocking. And obviously, when you have Justin Jefferson and T.J. Hockenson, you got two pretty good receiving targets and a great play caller in Kevin O'Connell. So I think he's going to be fine, but it's going to start slow. And I don't think people should overreact to it starting slow because this is essentially his rookie year.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. You mentioned a potentially slow start. They open up the season two games in primetime. Two out of the first three games are going to be in primetime. Chicago, Atlanta. Then they got a trip across the pond in back-to-back weeks against the Steelers and the Browns. So they definitely have to get off to a fast start. Caleb Williams, the video going viral about him, you know, not being able to put the ball in the net. This is football, not basketball, so I don't care too much about that. How quickly do you think he picks up Ben Johnson's offense? And do you think there'll be a team that kind of, you know, leans on the running game a little bit while Caleb gets acclimated to a new system?
I think everybody's got to chill a little bit with the training camp.
Yeah.
I like to say training camp reps and training camp, like who wins, who loses, means everything and nothing at the same time.
Right.
It doesn't really matter until we see him on week one when the games actually matter. What I will say is Ben Johnson has added so much more attention to detail and physicality to this team. I think with what Caleb Williams needed last season, the attention to detail they're going to bring this season, and I'm kind of excited to see how Ben Johnson unlocks Caleb Williams as a runner because I think that's a underrated aspect of his game that he really didn't get a chance to use last season. So I wouldn't be too worried because he's throwing footballs at a net. that's not playing football. Like, this is not real football. Everybody's got to relax a little bit.
For sure. And then Jordan Love, a dude that dealt with some injury issues last year. What is your outlook for him and the Packers this year? And will they be a legitimate threat in the conference?
I think they will. I think Jordan Love is going to see a lot of positive regression. He missed a lot of time with an injury. I think some of the turnovers were due to the fact that his receivers led the NFL in drop rates. And I think that's a very, very important thing for this Packers team. They added Matthew Golden, and all the reports out of camp have been that Matthew Golden is absolutely killing training camp. And I think that's huge because he's such a sure-handed and focused guy at the catch point. And that's going to make a lot of waves within that offense. I think if everything breaks right, they could have the best offense in the NFL.
Wow. And I think we should end it on that, brother. We always talk about we have good convo. That's how you end an interview. JP Acosta of SB Nation, kind enough to give us some time tonight here on Overtime. JP, we appreciate you, man. Enjoy the preseason ball tonight. I know you'll be up watching all 22 as soon as it comes out. We appreciate you, my man.
Of course. Thank you for having me.
That is JP Acosta. Seriously, go follow him on the X app at Acosta. JP underscore 32, one of the absolute best in the National Football League, giving you a different angle, a different perspective. Love to bring in some young guys when you're listening to the Youngest in Charge movement, Linnell Willingham. That is going to do it, though, here for this Thursday night edition of Overtime. If you want to keep the conversation going with me on social media, it is at N-E-L-L underscore BTP. I'm back with you tomorrow. Commanders preseason opener, myself and Grant Paulson, 2 to 6:30, right here on The Fan.